You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in studio, and Scoop Stanton now calling in. We pushed back his normal segment. Normally, Scoop's with us for the final segment of the first hour each week. We flexed him, as they use in sports scheduling, to the first segment of this hour so we could spend an hour solid on Trump, and now we're going to spend an hour on the question that will dominate this hour. And that question is, what do Nathan Bedford Forrest, Bernie Sanders, and the Ferguson police have in common? Well, of course, to sum it up quickly, all were attacked this past weekend by the Black Lives Matter thugs as part of the events commemorating the death of Michael Brown. Yes, indeed, folks, it's been one full year since we all heard about Ferguson, Missouri for the first time. And to mark the anniversary, Black Lives Matters have returned to their roots of looting, vandalism, shooting at cops, and more. And Scoop is going to fill us in. We're going to start with Ferguson, then go to Forrest, then go to Bernie Sanders. I tell you what, you know you've got gold on your hands when a guy like Bernie Sanders, a radical Jewish socialist, is being accosted as a white supremacist. And that's what they were saying. Bernie Sanders is a white supremacist. That's what Black Lives Matters believes. Anyway, we're going to start with Ferguson. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Cesspool family. This past Sunday was a milestone for the passing of two individuals. One was a music icon and one of the most prolific rock bands in rock history. The other was a thug who liked to smoke pot, rob a convenience store owner of cheap cigars he used to roll into blunts, and decided to attack a police officer. 20 years ago, we lost Cherry Garcia. Last year, Mike Brown was killed by Officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri. To recap what happened real quick, Officer Wilson came across Mike Brown and Dorian Johnson walking in the street and realized that they matched the description of two robbery suspects. Brown attacks Officer Wilson, attempts to grab a service weapon, and subsequently was shot and killed. The media went on with the lies that Brown had his hands up and Wilson shot anyways. This gave birth to the meaningless hashtags Black Lives Matter and Hands Up Don't Shoot. After Wilson was not indicted, rightfully so, by grand jury, Ferguson burned, and Wilson went into hiding, fearing for his and his family's safety. Folks, just to let you know, Mike Brown was not a college professor. The media shows continuously show his high school graduation photo and a photograph of him wearing earphones only, again and again and again. Mike Brown was a thug. Men his age who are worth something are in college, are learning a trade, or serving the armed forces, or working a job doing something productive for society. Not Mikey. Mr. and Mrs. Brown did a piss-poor job of raising their son. Well, 1 year later, Wilson is still in hiding, and people are remembering Professor Mike Brown by rioting. Police in Ferguson were fired upon, returning fire with a perpetrator still alive, unfortunately. People are protesting outside the federal courthouses, shutting down interstates, and even looting a hair salon with a sign that read, "We must stop killing each other." I guess the looters might have thought Darren Wilson got a job in this hair salon. Some disgusting human being had a pig roast outside Ferguson Police Headquarters with a pig wearing a mock police officer uniform hat with Darren Wilson written on the side of the swine. Meanwhile, a local police official was giving a press conference, and it was interrupted with gunshots. St. Louis County, Missouri, was forced to declare a state of emergency. Now, if Mike Brown wasn't shot and killed by a white police officer, nobody would know who Mike Brown was and would do nothing if he ended up in jail or even a victim of black-on-black violence. Riot, loot, steal and burn, and shoot all you want. Mike Brown is still dead. You all mourn for Mike Brown, but for victims of black-on-black crimes number in the thousands annually. You blame white people for Ferguson illnesses, but then again, you act a fool so whites and businesses can move far, far away from Ferguson, Baltimore, Detroit, South Chicago, Gary, and other wonderful places blessed by diversity. So when you're sitting there with absolutely nothing, you have no one to blame but yourselves. James, back to you in the studio.
Scoop, great commentary, my friend, as always, and I appreciate it. And, of course, me and you and Sean Bergen talked about this last Saturday on the show. Statistics show that between 8 and 9,000 blacks are murdered annually by other blacks, and yet, you know, the Black Lives Matter, so-called Black Lives Matter crowd couldn't care less about these guys. You know, we were talking about it yesterday, Scoop, and you know, it was said, this is just an excuse for this element of society to justify acting like animals. And we're not saying all blacks are animals, but I am telling you, if it was white, black, whatever, the people in Ferguson who just so happen to be black, they're animals, all right? They're savages. They're acting like, you know, even animals don't act that bad. You know, and this thing, you know, last week on this very show, we're talking about the fact that a 33-year-old white police officer gunned down, murdered in the streets of Memphis by a 29-year-old Black Lives Matter
devotee.
And, you know, a guy. And, hey, it, you know, so what? But here in Ferguson, you once again, you said they declared a state of emergency, and they did, but they had to declare a state of emergency again because this isn't even the first time. It's not even the second time. A state of emergency on the one-year anniversary of Darren Wilson protecting his life and more looting, more pillaging, more shooting at officers. And I'll tell you, if Darren Wilson hadn't had done what he did, he would be in the ground like Sean Bolton, the officer here in Memphis. And if Sean Bolton had acted quicker, he might still be alive, although his life would be ruined, just like Darren Wilson's is. Darren Wilson, as you mentioned in your commentary, Scoop, living in hiding, completely unemployable now, not because he did anything wrong, but because we have a nation that is
insane.
That's, yeah, right, Keith. A nation that's insane, and we're letting it be run by mob rule. It's absolutely unconscionable. And this thing in Ferguson, and we'll get into it more after the break. We're coming up quickly on the break. We're going to bring Keith into this discussion. But, Scoop, a final word from you before the music starts. We're going to continue on Ferguson after the commercial, though.
Well, like you said, James, you know, animals are going to be animals. And this is not. This is going to continue because you got people in the media that salivate over this. CNN was all over this like white on rice. They want white cops shoot black on our black people. They want black people to burn down cities because guess what? That equals ratings. Because this idiot was watching CNN a couple months ago in Baltimore when they had this huge protest gathering in Baltimore. It went on all day Saturday up to the time I called in. I was watching CNN. But you get what you get. And then when black people want to call white people racist because they don't want to move in West Baltimore or Gary or any of these hellholes because they know that the cops aren't going to do the job because they're underpaid, underappreciated. The politicians that run those cities and counties have a target on their backs. Then they wonder why, you know, crime's up and nobody's moving in. Well, you know, look in the mirror.
Scoop, thank you so much, brother. Thank you for giving us the scoop tonight. We'll be back with more on this topic that Scoop introduced to the program this evening right after this.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
What are Nathan Bedford Forrest, Bernie Sanders, and Ferguson have in common? Well, we're going to answer that question, continue to answer that question this hour, but we're starting with Ferguson, and so we know what's going on there. I was watching Fox News' coverage of the unrest earlier this week, and you had the man on the street guy there who was doing the report from the scene continuously apologizing. This was actually during Megyn Kelly's show on Monday night, and she broke into it live. You know, went to Ferguson Live, and this guy was there trying to interview some of the blacks who had congregated there. And every time he did, anybody watch Megyn Kelly on Monday night, you can back me up on this, but every time he tried to interview one of the blacks there to ask him why they were there, what are they, you know, protesting, he had to take the mic away and apologize to the audience because here they are on live, you know, they did this live feed. They don't have any editing there. And all of these blacks are just yelling obscenities, four-letter words, F words. He has to go away, say, I'm sorry. I apologize to all the people at home.
Not paper trained like the Republican field candidates.
It was just, I mean, you know, listen, you can say what you want to say about race relations and the differences between the races, but, you know, all you got to do is just shine a camera on it, and the true colors are going to come out, no pun intended. But, you know, I tell you, you know, these blacks, and I understand that not all blacks, you know, are like this, and regrettably, this is, you know, this is just a very small, it's regrettable for their people that this small, you know, amount that behaves this way, you know. You know, it's representative, but it is certainly a vast undertow in the black community. But these blacks should be the first ones thanking the police. Do you know what would happen in Ferguson? You know, one of the things that happened during this unrest in Ferguson earlier in the week was that the blacks were shooting each other, as they are wont to do. And, you know, they would get there and then they would get into it with one another and shoot at each other. You know, these blacks, though, should be grateful, Keith, because if it wasn't for the racist, you know, Ferguson, so-called racist Ferguson Police Department, the city of Ferguson would look like Mogadishu, and these blacks would be the ones suffering the most, but they're too stupid to understand that.
Well, here's the situation, James. Let me break it down for you. The police are put in an untenable position. If you ask black people, one, they hate it when a white officer kills a black perpetrator of crime, okay? On the other hand, they hate it when the police don't come in here and prevent them from killing one another. Here is what it gets down to. Somehow, the police forces have to develop some type of magic where they can disarm and neutralize violent criminals without shooting them and possibly killing them. They've got to allow black perpetrators to attack them physically. And a lot of these guys are big, strong, husky individuals, okay, and young and vibrant. You're supposed to be able to disarm them magically, like you have a magic wand, and neutralize them without hurting them. And until the police can figure out the particular hocus-pocus to do that, we're going to have this same cycle playing out time and time again, James. It's we need to understand this. Let's put this in context with the triumph of liberalism over the past 70 years generally. Back when the whole liberal juggernaut got underway on May 17, 1954, with the handing down by the U.S. Supreme Court of the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education decision, what was that? It set things off. The first great radically egalitarian liberal movement was the Black Rights Movement, or the so-called Civil Rights Movement. On the other hand, what was the second great offensive of the Warren Court? It was criminal rights. You had cases like Gideon versus Wainwright, Miranda versus Arizona, Escobedo versus Arizona, Aguilar versus Texas. All of these criminal rights cases were intended to do one thing, which has never been acknowledged by the mainstream media, and that was to make it more difficult to apprehend and successfully prosecute criminals. Why? The left loves criminals. The left thinks the criminal element does a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want them hampered in their useful societal function. That's what it was all about. It's still going on today. Apparently, you're supposed to be able to control black crime without using firearms. And until somebody gets some type of magic wand to do that, then they're going to have the same complaints.
I'm glad you brought up the so-called civil rights movement, because I'm going to tie something into that after I read this story. Now, there was another incident in Ferguson just days ago where police officers had to shoot one of these other peaceful protesters, one of the peaceful protesters.
Well, another one of the Cosby kids.
Right, that shot at the cops first. Well, here's the story. Ferguson protesters used a roasted pig during a demonstration marking the eve of the one-year anniversary of Michael Brown's shooting death. Now, this article actually calls them a peaceful. After a peaceful
they're shooting
demonstration,
at the police.
Hundreds of protesters converged outside the police department. They carved an 8 from the pig's head, which was placed on a concrete barrier near the building, near the police department, I might add. Earlier in the day, someone had scrawled the name Darren Wilson on the side of the animal. So if firing on police is what they're calling peaceful, then yeah, they had a peaceful demonstration. Listen to this. A suspect who authorities say opened fire on officers in Ferguson, Missouri on the anniversary of Michael Brown's death was critically wounded when the officers shot back. You know, they should have shot back. They should have just died like the one here in Memphis, and then they would have been okay. But St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar said at a news conference that the officers had been tracking the suspect, who they believed was armed. I would say that they had a right to believe that, since he was shooting at them during a protest marking the death of Brown, which touched off the national Black Lives Matter movement. At the height of what already was a rowdy protest, the story reads, in which rocks and bottles were thrown at officers, gunshots rang out from an area near a strip of stores, including some that had been looted. Belmar believes that the shots came from 6 different shooters from the Black Lives Matter crowd, the peaceful crowd. It was not clear what prompted the exchange. At one point, the suspect crossed the street. Listen to this, folks. Crossed the street, spotted police officers arriving in a van with distinctive red and blue police lights. The suspect then shot into the hood and windshield of the vehicle carrying the officers. Imagine this. I know they weren't supposed to do this.
New techniques of peaceful protest, James.
That's right. The officers fired back at him from inside the vehicle, then pursued him on foot when he ran. The suspect fired on officers again after he became trapped in a fenced-in area, the chief said, and all 4 officers fired back, at which point the suspect was struck and fell. The suspect was then taken to a hospital. He is now in critical, unstable condition. Now, this guy the suspect's name is Tyrone Harris. His father told the Associated Press that his son was a close friend of Michael Brown and was in Ferguson on Sunday night just to pay his respects. This is how they pay their respects at a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest, Keith.
Like I say, this is a new generation of
you
peaceful
can't
protest.
Make it up. You cannot make this up.
Yeah, he's paying his respects by shooting at the police, shooting at their vehicle, then shooting at them.
After
all of that, he gets shot, and he's now a victim of police brutality. Now, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. You can't make this stuff up. And the Black Lives Matter people will continue to hold him up as if he's one of the Cosby kids. I guess I'm showing my age by referencing the Cosby kids. But, you know, there are these clean scrubbed little paragons that were supposed to be Bill Cosby's children back in the day when the Cosby Show was at the top of the television ratings. Well, the truth hurts, at least people that want to be partisans of black people as perpetual victims of American society. Actually, everybody in America, black, white, Asian, whatever, the most fortunate day in their ancestral history was the day that one of their ancestors came to the North American continent. That's when they basically got opportunities to be in this wonderful, productive land. It would be gross ingratitude for people that really understand the circumstances from which their forebears came, not to be grateful, but the ingratitude, as Pat Buchanan said, is stupefying.
More on Ferguson when we get back, and then we're going to talk about the latest vandalism of Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave. It's a weekly occurrence here in Memphis. He got his dose this week again, and then we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders, the white supremacist.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, they're keeping it classy in Ferguson. We have a picture for you on our website, so be sure to check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There's this roasted pig, and we talked about this a moment ago, but it looks like they picked up a pig out of his pin on the farm and dropped the pig into a boiling vat. Kill and then him. After he was cooked, they just set the entire animal on a table. I mean, you've got this pig from snout to tail. His ears are intact, his legs, his hooves, his everything. Got his mouth wide open with an apple in it. It looks exactly how he would have been alive, except he's boiled dead. And Darren Wilson is written on the side. He's wearing a policeman's hat and a cop's lanyard badge that they would wear around their necks. And this is put on display in front of the police department building in Ferguson. And you got all these Black Lives Matters people hooping and hollering and whooping and eating this animal dressed up like a cop. Now, listen, if white people did that, number one, first of all, white people would never do that. But if they did, I mean, listen, you are breeding an atmosphere here for a reprisal. You think cops see this and aren't going to get stirred up? They're humans. Of course they are. And then, of course, when you start firing at them, yeah, they're going to get after you. But I ask you this, Keith, because, you know, we're seeing a lot of the same narrative in Ferguson that we saw written during the so-called civil rights era. Peaceful protesters just marching for their rights. Just, you know, obviously it's more out of hand now than it was then. They are progressives. That's right. They get progressively worse. You know, you didn't have this kind of violence in the South when the groups that predated the Black Lives Matter movement rolled through your town. But there are some similarities. People always say, you know, my God, that was just so bad. They turned the fire hoses on those poor people. Yeah, they need some fire hoses in Ferguson. They need dogs in Ferguson. Hey, Keith, is there any similarities between the behavior of the people in Ferguson and the people that made up the so-called civil rights movement and the reaction from the police? I mean, let's break that down for a minute here because the narrative is the same. These are the victims. Were the behaviors possibly the same? I was born in 1980, so I didn't get to live through that like you did, but I have certainly seen what's happened in Ferguson. My research suggests that it was a totally different ballgame in some of these southern cities before the news cameras started rolling. Of course, once they pushed play on the cameras, all you saw on the footage that night on the news was the hoses and the dogs. You didn't see what happened before. Can you fill in the blanks, Keith?
I'll do my best. I was actually born so that I lived through the civil rights movement. I was actually out there on the streets, not on purpose, but in the middle of some of these riots. For example, I was working all night long at the Memphis Publishing Company, putting out the paper, which is what poor boys typically did back then to make money at minimum wage, doing what they call pulling the hook, working in the mailroom, getting the newspaper out to the various trucks and trains and whatnot that were carrying it out. So I was caught in downtown Memphis at Memphis Publishing Company working when it all hit the fan with Martin Luther King's death. So consequently, I had to try to get home through all that. And I remember the looting and the shooting and the burning that happened in Memphis back in the day. So consequently, I'm a firsthand witness to a lot of this. I can tell you what happened in the civil rights movement. Basically, everything was scripted by Jewish power and influence that owned ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS back then. They were in control of all of this. They sent civil rights workers from the North into a place called the Highlander Folk School in Mont Eagle, Tennessee. That was like the Paris Island of the civil rights movement. Once they were there, they were taught how to manipulate the media for the purposes of forming public opinion. which they did throughout the world. What they would do, they would dress all the protesters in Cosby Kid style outfits. They would, the men would have on white shirts with two pockets at the top, a single skinny, single color tie, and a lot of the men would be decked out in horn-rimmed glasses, so they looked professorial, as Scott, as Scoop was saying earlier in his segment. They were looking as geeky as possible. They looked like Urkel, Steve Urkel, in that TV show from the 80s and 90s. Forget the name of it. But anyway.
Family Matters.
Family Matters, okay. That's what they were striving for, and the girls were all dressed up in their Sunday best. And before, when the police showed up for riot control, the police were being spat upon. They were having dog feces thrown at them. They were having cups of urine thrown at them.
Just like what's going on in Ferguson. No, yeah, different, except right. Ferguson's worse. Obviously, now they're right. Shooting into the cops.
But see, then they had the word to the cameramen for NBC, CBS, ABC, and PBS. They didn't get any of this on camera. What a surprise. What a coincidence. But on the other hand, when they could finally provoke a reaction from the police, which was a non-lethal reaction, that is, using fire hoses to disperse the crowd, using police dogs that were held on leashes by policemen so they weren't going to get away and, you know, actually kill somebody. They were being used for riot control, non-lethal means. Well, that was recorded and sent all over the world, so people said what brutes and monsters these white Southerners were in how they dealt with this peaceful protest, which was, quite frankly, pushing the envelope for peaceful protest, to say the very least. Now, just think about this. That was the epitome of brutality back then, using non-lethal force. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, if you're the police. If you use non-lethal force like the police forces in Southern localities used back during the Civil Rights Movement, you're a brute and a beast. If you use your gun because somebody's actually attacking you physically, some young, big, strong person who might actually overcome you physically, get your gun and kill you, and you shoot at him and he dies, well, then you are a brute and a beast, just like the people were back in the Civil Rights Movement. So nothing has changed. The same narrative is being used now as then. They just don't have a Highlander folk school trying to gussy these people up and teach them how to manipulate public opinion, how to make provocative behavior seem like innocent behavior. Now, they just don't put the camera on the perpetrators of the rioting, the people that are...
Because now you've got 24-hour news that's never interrupted, and it's just all live. It's
And the only real coverage we get are from people with their cell phones nowadays. People didn't have cell phones with cameras on them back in the Civil Rights Movement. So consequently, what I'm telling you is buried in the mists of history. If it it's like if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it make a sound? Well, all of these things happened back during the Civil Rights Movement because nobody recorded them on camera, they didn't exist.
Well, and fast forwarding now, going across the country, it wasn't just Ferguson that saw the peaceful diversity and demonstrations of the Black Lives Matter crowd. Here in Memphis, once again, Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave received its weekly dose of vandalism. In the last 3 weeks, they've had eggs thrown, rotten eggs thrown all over it. Week before that, the F word on one side in black paint, KKK on the other in black paint. This is a man's grave. Now, the familiar Black Lives Matter red spray paint defacing the front of the monument. We got a picture of this on our website, folks. Again, thepoliticalcesspool.org. But you got this guy. This guy in this news article, we didn't post the article, but we just put his picture up. But he was driving by the monument on his way to work, and he said, you know what, I'm not going into work today. He went and he got a can of gasoline, and it looks like he's holding like some sort of a spray bottle of cleaner, and he's trying to clean this thing off by himself. It's not doing any good. And you just see, he just said, you know, he couldn't let that stand. He goes in and tries to, because the city of Memphis isn't repairing it. The city of Memphis isn't out there cleaning it up. You know, this citizen on his way to work picks
the mayor
off work.
Of Memphis has gone on official record for saying he wants to take down the statue, dig up the graves, and move it all out of Memphis.
Well, and then, you know, and of course they're so concerned with that that we can't be dealing with legitimate issues like crime. So you got a dead cop on your hands, and you got this, you know, if this was the grave of Martin Luther King or any other so-called civil rights movement degenerate, and it was getting defaced every single week, not just once. If they did it once, you know, the full weight of the United States Justice Department would be after the culprits. But every single week, and there's not one cop, there's not one camera, there's not one security guard monitoring the grave of this American hero, this you know, incomparable general. And this is it. So this is, you know, we lost the civil rights struggle, and this is what we get. You get Ferguson. You get grave desecration.
And you never reach appeasement point. You can't negotiate with the Ayatollah Khomeini. You cannot negotiate with leftist radicals because you think that you've reached some type of peace or equilibrium or balance point by conceding something. Well, they'll take your concession, but they'll be back next year for the rest of the loaf. Every time. Every time.
Well, right. I mean, they're calling Bernie Sanders a white supremacist. We got another email, Keith, from one of our listeners in Minnesota. Another hate crime up there. When we come back from this break, we're going to tell you what happened in Minnesota. And then we're going to tell you about Bernie Sanders. He was speaking to a crowd of 15,000 people in Seattle, Washington, gets run off the stage by Black Lives Matters, and has to leave his own event. We're going to tell you about it. Stay tuned.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, we're going to tell you about Bernie Sanders. what happened to him. But first, we get this email in from Jesse in Minnesota, one of our listeners, Keith. And he writes, James, have you heard about the recent Somali hate crime against a 32-year-old white man in Minnesota? The man was attacked because his companion, and I believe this might have been his daughter, was wearing a Confederate flag hat. Of course, East Africans, that's where Somalia is, East Africa, were never slaves in America. But what really angers me is the fact that these Somali immigrants, most likely not even citizens, are presuming that they have any business telling American citizens how they can dress.
They have no skin in the game, as they say. They're not American citizens. They're not here. They're here as guests. We're the hosts. You don't respond that ungraciously to your host.
Well, I should have read this gentleman's email all the way through. He actually writes that he lives in Columbus, Ohio. So not from Minnesota, but he's writing. He's a listener from Columbus who's writing about the situation in Minnesota. He continues and actually concludes by writing, I live in Columbus, Ohio, where we have many Somali refugees, and I wouldn't presume to tell Somalis to not to wear their silly gowns and headdresses. Somali refugees are here due to white benevolence and should be grateful that they aren't living in the slums of Mogadishu. While here, they should keep their heads down and mouths shut. Of all the black-on-white hate crimes of late, I find this one to be perhaps the most offensive. Thank you for your time. Now, I did actually see this now that the email reminds me. It was a man's daughter who was wearing a Confederate flag hat.
It's on the Council of Conservative Citizens
website. That might be where I read it. And so these Somali refugees, if you want to call them that, illegal aliens, whatever they are, from Somalia, they go in and they start berating the man's daughter. And of course, any man is going to defend his children, so he steps in and has words with them, and then they go on to, I believe, put him in the hospital. So, you know, but again, nothing from the Justice Department. You know, there have been a lot of black-on-white hate crimes after the situation with the Confederate flag in Charleston, of people being shot at, vandalized, robbed.
And what a coincidence. Beaten. You know, only place you hear about them is like on our show or Council of Conservative Citizens website.
Put the shoe on the other foot, though, Keith, and what happens? If it was a bunch of white people beating up...
Oh, I mean, it would dominate the news cycle for a month.
All right. And here's the thing is, with these people, like we're talking about, these Somalian folks, these Black Lives Matter people, let's face it, any group claiming that a radical Jewish socialist like Bernie Sanders is a white supremacist is clearly a group that is beyond reason. And you know, I bring up the fact that Bernie Sanders is Jewish. His mother was Jewish. His father was Jewish. He's a Jew through and through. And the reason I bring that up is because it's important. He would identify first as a Jewish individual. If you asked him what his ethnicity was, he would say Jewish. He wouldn't say white. So that's why we need to bring
that
up.
Let me say this at this point. You never hear from the news media that he's Jewish. They don't want you connecting the dots between liberalism or extreme leftism and Jewishness. But, you know, it's as predictable as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. The yeast that makes the dough rise in all leftist movements is Jewish power and influence. They have the money, they have the smarts, they have the networking, they have control of the news media, the entertainment industry, higher academia. So consequently, they're the ones that can get traction. They can do something like the neoconservative movement, which is almost exclusively Jewish and admitted to be so by such neoconservatives as like Max Boot. They have no grassroots support whatsoever, but they have become the face of establishment conservatism. They're the ones that basically cowered George W. Bush into starting war with Iraq because they said if they didn't, they were going to portray him as being an appeaser, a Neville Chamberlain, a soft-on-terrorist thing. So he went ahead and did it. This is the power of people like Bernie Sanders.
Keith, and before I continue with, well, I'll read this email. This email is incredible. We're getting it in as we're sitting. I'm reading it for the first time as we're sitting here in the studio. But I'll share with you that at the top of the third hour. So remind me to do that. But Bernie Sanders. So here's what happened to Bernie. A Seattle speech, and I'm reading straight from the news article now, a Seattle speech by Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders was preempted in a chaotic confrontation last Saturday with a pair of Black Lives Matter protesters who took the stage and refused to let him speak. Now, this is a Democrat. This is second to Hillary Clinton in the Democratic polls. He pulled 15,000 people to this speech. She couldn't pull five. two black women get up there and totally take over the event. Where in the hell was security?
But let me just say this real quick, James. Do you think Donald Trump would?
Great point. Great point. Yeah. I'd like to see what would happen if they tried to pull this with Donald Trump. Great point. An estimated 15,000 supporters packed the Heck Edmondson Pavilion in Seattle, and an overflow area was set up when Sanders took to the stage to thunderous applause. Sanders was just getting started. He addressed Seattle as being one of the most progressive cities in the United States. Then two women walked on stage and grabbed the microphone. If you do not listen to us, your event will be shut down, one of the protesters told the organizers, who refused to let them speak initially. After a back and forth with the screaming protesters, organizers relented and said that the demonstrators could take the stage. Some in the largely white audience, yeah, I would say it's largely white. If there was 15,000 people there, 14,999 were white. But they booed. They actually did boo the two Black Lives Matters.
At least some of them did, and others said, let them talk. Typical brain-dead liberals. Go ahead.
A few yelled for the police to make arrests. Melissa Johnson, one of the protesters, shot back, I was going to tell Bernie how racist this city is, but you did it for me. accusing the audience of white supremacist liberalism.
I love it.
White supremacist liberalism. She cited Seattle's own police problems, including an ongoing Justice Department consent decree over the use of force. Now, it goes on. I can't read the whole article, but it is at our website. They want 4.5 minutes of silence to signify the 4.5 hours that Michael Brown's body laid on the Ferguson Street. They go on and on. But listen to this, Keith. One of them asked for Bernie Sanders to come stand by her as she made her remarks, but he refused. Then the protesters said they wouldn't give the microphone back to Sanders, prompting rally organizer Robbie Stern to say the event was over because the demonstrators wouldn't stop. See, where is security? Where's security?
Well, not only that, where is manhood? Where is manliness? This is why Donald Trump is striking such a responsive chord. We have so many girly men that are proposing to be leaders of our country, asking to be president of our nation. And, I mean, they don't have the cojones to step up and take control of their own event. This is, you know, if this doesn't show you what's wrong with American politics today, nothing will. You have a heckler's veto. Two people in a city that is probably almost 100% white sits up there and listens patiently to a bunch of nincompoops that have ginned up ridiculous complaints. And they are, see, this also shows it doesn't matter whether you're a liberal or conservative. As long as you're white, you're a white supremacist.
Or appeared to be white. I mean, he's not even.
Yeah, that's it. See, the thing is, and if you're Jewish, there's a lesson here for Jewish people. You know, if you think that your liberalism or your certificate for contributing to the United Negro College Fund or your NAACP membership card is going to get you any dispensation when the stuff really hits the fan, you're sadly mistaken. You're going to be considered just another white person, just as Bernie Sanders, the Jewish socialist presidential candidate, is considered. He may as well be the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan as far as these protesters are concerned.
And when you got a guy that makes Hillary Clinton look like
a conservative.
Well, I mean, I was going to give a name. I can't think of any. Who's a hardcore conservative? I guess maybe Ann Coulter. You know, this is the guy that makes Hillary Clinton look like Ann Coulter, for lack of a better example. You know, he's getting called a white supremacist. His audience, these socialists, are getting called liberal, white supremacist liberals. You know, that's absolute gold. But we've got the video of this disruption, again, on our website. Hey. Folks, if you're not going to our website every day, you got to check it out. But here's the thing about the video, Keith. You literally get to see Bernie run off the stage by these two hysterical black women who say that Seattle was stolen from the Indians and Chief Seattle would be ashamed to have his name associated with this city. And from time to time, the camera pans to the right of these hysterical women who are shouting and crying on stage. And you can see Bernie Sanders standing there with his head down, shuffling his feet. It's just
girly man. That's the perfect portrait of the girly men that are proposing to rule America. And America is saying no loud and clear. That's what the Trump candidacy and its high rankings in the ratings shows you. This is why America is in trouble. people, men in power, have abdicated their power and responsibility. You see him capering and mincing around like, some typical girly man in the face of this, you know, obvious, bullying by a bunch of people.
Come on, this guy's a presidential candidate. You can't have two people from the peanut gallery come down, take over the stage, and run him off. I mean,
you are immobilized, paralyzed by political correctness,
and
which he was.
We saw this with Martin O'Malley a week before, the former governor of Maryland. Same thing, exact same thing happened to him in Arizona. But Brad Griffin wrote this, and I agree. At this point, the so-called Black Lives Matter supporters are nothing but a violent and lawless mob that needs to be put down by the police. I'm not talking about murdered or something. They need to be stopped by the police. And I hope that Donald Trump seizes on this issue and goes full Nixon. Full
and don't try to create solidarity with people like this. They do not want your solidarity. For example, Sean O'Malley's funeral and procession. Did you see any representative of Black Lives Matter there? No. You didn't even see a representative from the NAACP.
Certainly not somebody from the Justice Department while they were flying left and right to Ferguson to attend the funeral of a street thug. It's just, this country is sick.
The truth is stranger than fiction, folks. We'll be back with more after these words from our sponsors.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.